The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. It is that time again. Time for Fantasy Insights Radio. I am Dish Adams from FantasyInsights.com. Today, I will be joined by the Fantasy Taz, our good friend Jim Day. We will introduce him in just a moment, but I wanted to tease you with that very exciting information. Fantasy football playoffs going on right now. Championship games this week. If you had Peyton Manning or Matthew Stafford as your quarterback, maybe you tried Andy Dalton on a good matchup, you're probably not so happy this week. Miraculously, Drew Brees comes back and does what we know he can do so well after two horrible, horrible outings. And Colin Kaepernick was quarterbacking my team into the evening game against Tom Brady, and I needed Cappy basically to hold off Brady. And he did. And he did. And because of that, and because Mark Sanchez didn't throw a pick six on the very last series, instead he fumbled away the ball, I ended up going to my championship game. So I'll be playing for a championship next week, and I'll be bugging Jim Day to tell me who to sit and start. I got two situations I need your help with. All right, we are going to go through the games, game by game, all of the game capsules from FantasyInsights.com's report. We'll give you as much inside information as we can. We'll also go over some of the studs and duds from last week, some of the biggest surprises, who can win for your team this week if they were terrible last week. But without further ado, let me bring on a man I like to call the contrarian from time to time. He appears with us on the Fantasy Insights Final Decisions podcast on Sunday mornings on Blog Talk Radio. He also has thefantasytaz.com, at fantasytaz is his Twitter handle. He plays in over 60 leagues and does a podcast basically daily or a Google Hangout. Without further ado, Jim Day, the Fantasy Taz. How are you, Jim?
Hey, Dish. Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Well, it's always a pleasure to yell at you.
You know, it makes it easy. I'm used to getting yelled at, both at home and professionally. So, you know, last night, actually, I went out on the Prego run. You know, every night there's the cravings. So she just inevitably, as soon as I fall asleep, she starts, you know, pushing my arm. Hey, here's what I want tonight. So last night, usually it's like Taco Bell or Jack in the Box or something greasy food. She was on a salt thing. Now she's on a sweet thing. So last night it was Haagen-Dazs. She wanted the Rocky Road. Now, Ralph's is a 24-hour market. It's closed. I don't know why it's closed if it's 24 hours. They had some construction. So I went over to 7-Eleven. Do you know 7-Eleven carries Haagen-Dazs? Good stuff. Oh, yeah. So I got her Rocky Road, and I got my flavor. I got the banana split. I've never seen that flavor before from Haagen-Dazs, banana split.
No, me either.
You had that?
I have to say. No,
have you had it?
Never had that from them.
It's me neither. I got to tell you something. Pretty good. Tastes like a banana split. Imagine that.
I love banana splits. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I love the banana ice cream. Had the nice tones of cherry. Oh, good stuff. So I ate that whole thing, and now I'm fat. I just keep eating when she eats because I figure the bigger I get, the better she'll feel if she gets large. So far it's working. But I have to say, the marshmallow, Taz, in the Haagen-Dazs Rocky Road is at a different level of marshmallow. It's probably the best-tasting marshmallow I've ever had. That must be what fresh-made marshmallow tastes like. So all of you need to go get the Rocky Road from Haagen-Dazs. Don't be afraid to try the banana split. But let's get to fantasy football instead of fantasy ice cream. The most important thing, Jim, is I'm going to play for the championship in my favorite league.
That is a great thing. It's always nice when it falls together like that, especially after the last couple of weeks. I mean, just if you look at the last couple of weeks and how many studs threw up dud numbers in each week, it's simply amazing. I can't remember a three-week span, especially in the playoffs, where I've seen it happen like this.
Yeah, crazy. And we'll get into that. I ended up winning my game because they started Greg Olsen over Dennis Pitta, which I would have told him to do all day long. And because the Tennessee Titans didn't get 30 points, they only got 24. So let's talk about the studs and duds this week, the ones that I want to talk about for next week. Peyton Manning was about the 16th-ranked quarterback last week. Jake Locker put up more fantasy points than him. You take a look at Matthew Stafford, 29th-ranked quarterback last week. Can you start him this week against Atlanta on Saturday night in your fantasy championship game? Do you quit on him?
No, actually, I like him this week. I think Atlanta's in for a letdown week. This could easily be a trap game for them. You know they got hyped up to play the Giants last week after what the Giants did to them in the playoffs last year, so you knew they were hot for that game. I think this could be a letdown game for them, and I do like Stafford this week.
All right, well, some of the surprises. Sam Bradford was the third-ranked quarterback last week. I still say you can't start him, even against that Tampa secondary. I wouldn't feel comfortable starting him. Colin Kaepernick was the fourth-ranked quarterback, and I'm going to start him again.
See, now I disagree with you on both counts here. I love Sam Bradford this week. You know, the one thing I like they did last week is they used a lot more of the spread offense, a few more chances of no huddle, and let him open it up. And Danny Amendola's healthy. He's not even on the injury report this week. I think they come out and do the same thing. At the same time, I think Colin Kaepernick goes into Seattle and throws a dud up there. Seattle is a great defense at home. They're playing hot right now. San Francisco just had to come across the country to New England, now has to go all the way back to Seattle. I think this is a game that Seattle comes out of it with a win, and I think, you know, you're looking at numbers of what Kaepernick was doing in weeks 12 through 14, where he was only averaging 200 yards a game, and he only had one touchdown pass in those three games. I think we're looking at numbers like that this week.
See, I don't know. I think this week he has to run, and that's going to help his fantasy numbers.
He's not going to be able to run. Not against the Seattle defense, and not with this 12th man in Seattle. He's going to have a rough game.
Well, to me, the biggest thing in that game happens, I believe it's tomorrow. It's when Richard Sherman's appeal gets heard and whether or not he's allowed to play.
Well, you know, all the rumors coming out, all the talk coming out is he actually has a chance to beat it and play this week. So we'll have to see how it actually works out.
All right, well, anybody who started Beanie Wells last week was a genius and won. He was the number two running back last week. The number four running back last week was Danny Woodhead. The number six running back last week was D'Angelo Williams. I mean, come on. Mike Tolbert was number 11 or 12. So how do you – this is why usually the best team doesn't win, because there's always some anomaly performances. I mean, by the same token, David Wilson was supposed to have such a huge game. Coughlin, let's talk about David Wilson a sec. I really didn't like what Coughlin did with him. He was tearing it up, and then Coughlin pulls him out of the game and starts giving the ball to Lumpkin. I counted at least three plays where Lumpkin was pushed out of bounds where Wilson could have taken it all the way.
Yeah, it was a rough game. I'll give you an interesting stat. In a PPR league, and I'm just using one of my leagues as an example for numbers, so the entire Giants offense, Eli had a little over 6 points. Wilson had 7.6. Cruz had 4.5. Knicks had 7. Bennett had 2.5 for a total of 27.65 points. There were 11 individual players that had more than the five Giants. And I'll give you an even better one. There was a kicker that only had a little over a point less, Blair Walsh.
Blair Walsh, he was unbelievable. Put up a 30 in one of the leagues.
That's how bad the Giants were last week.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, looking at guys who didn't perform too well last week, and will they, you know, come back next week? I mean, you got guys like Vic Ballard, I think has a good matchup this week against Kansas City. Sean Green was terrible against Tennessee. Trent Richardson did not have a good game, but he plays a tough Denver team. DeMarco Murray didn't do as much as I thought he would. Then, the guys like, can you count on guys like Beanie Wells and Woodhead. To me, Woodhead was simply because they were playing that tough interior D, and Beanie Wells is just an anomaly. I don't think you can start him. Are you differing from me?
No, not at all. Woodhead, you know, it really came down to the fact of the matter, you know, Ridley fumbled again, and I'm pretty sure Belichick just said, look, this is San Francisco's defense. They're going to stand him up every single play and rip the ball from his hands every single time he touches it. We can't afford that. Brady feels more comfortable with Woodhead back there, especially when he's in the shotgun, because he knows he'll protect the ball and Brady better. So, you know, that all played into it. I don't think you have that same issue this week going up against a Jacksonville team that's not going to be any threat.
All right, looking at wide receivers, obviously, if you started James Jones, you won. He was the number three-ranked receiver last week. You had Eric Decker go off. He was the number four. Brandon Lloyd, all of a sudden, was number six. T.Y. Hilton, number 10. You know, Travis Benjamin was the 15th-ranked receiver last week. So, because of one big play. I mean, he was ahead of A.J. Green and Brandon Marshall. And Des Bryant.
Hankerson had a great game. Yeah, I mean, I went into week 14 with over 50 teams in the playoffs. I have four left. Four out of 50 teams. I mean, I've just gotten decimated. I got beat by a team last week that started a bunch of no-names, and they kicked my butt.
Yeah, what do you think about a guy like Mike Wallace this week versus Stevie Johnson? That's my big dilemma. Stevie Johnson, let me just give you the karmic history of Stevie Johnson on this team. Stevie Johnson I benched when I was playing to get into the championship a couple years back. I started T.O., and T.O. had a sore ankle, and he was supposed to play, and he was having a great year for Cincinnati, and he came out, ran the first play, couldn't move, came out the rest of the game. I didn't start Stevie Johnson. Had I started Stevie Johnson, would have won the game. So I get back in the playoffs this year. I'm going in the Final Four. Got to make a choice, Mike Wallace or Stevie Johnson, and I went with Mike Wallace. Stevie Johnson goes off. Now, I won anyway, but this week, Mike Wallace at home against Cincinnati or Stevie Johnson in Miami? What's the call?
Is it a PPR league?
It is a PPR league. 0.7 points per catch.
Now, you know, after the game that Stevie Johnson put up last week in what should have been a bad matchup, I think you have to roll with him.
I think so, too. I think based on what Cincinnati also does to receivers and how much better that defense is playing, I think I have to go with Stevie Johnson.
Well, just to be honest, over the last five games, actually Miami is playing better than Cincinnati is against receivers. They're number three in the league against receivers and giving up only one passing touchdown, while Cincinnati's given up three.
How much of that is a function of who they've played?
It should help Wallace, but at this point, it's just hard to trust this Pittsburgh team. They're so up and down. They're just like the Giants right now.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think it's a big divisional game. I think Cincinnati's actually the better football team, having watched these teams play a lot.
Oh, no, no, I agree with that.
I think their defense is going to be fired up. Last time they played Pittsburgh, I don't think they had Leon Hall or Carlos Dunlap either.
Yeah, right. I know they didn't have Hall.
All right, less than a minute left, so we'll ask the last question about my team, and then we will go and get into the game capsules and talk about everybody else's team going forward. I'm tempted, because I have the Bengals defense, I'm tempted, since they're at Pittsburgh, to sit them in favor of Carolina's defense at home against the Raiders. But I just can't bring myself to do it. Am I right to not bring myself to do it, or do I want to start Carolina's D at home against the Raiders?
That's a tough one. You got Carolina played an excellent defensive game last week. I mean, they just bottled it all up. But, you know, it's not something they've been doing consistently all year. So you have to wonder if it was a one-week wonder or if it's something you have to, you know, can be concerned about going forward. But this is the Oakland Raiders. And the one thing you know of is that they'll probably get at least an interception or two here. And you know, Oakland is really talking about trying to get Terrell Pryor into this game. And I think things like that just add up and actually lead to more inconsistencies from a quarterback like Palmer, because you take him out of trying to build any kind of momentum. So I think Carolina is actually a good play this week.
All right, now I'm more confused than ever. But when we come back, we will go through all of the team capsules. We'll solidify which defense to play. I'll be with Jim Day at the Fantasy Taz, Fantasy Insights Radio on a Thursday. Coming back.
internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune into Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lasseter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lasseter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Yeah, I gotta go over this defense a little more. I'm not done with it. Cincinnati's defense, in the league that I'm looking at, they've been in double-digit points 5 of the last 6 weeks, and they were 6 points, so they're positive points the week that they weren't. This league, you start with 15 points. 2 to 6 points is worth 10. 7 to 13 is worth 5. 14 to 20 is 0, and then you start going negative for 21 and beyond.
Okay, one of those types of scoring leagues. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so in that format, you know, they've been putting up positive points, you know, almost every week, but this last time they played Pittsburgh, they put up 3 fantasy points. Pittsburgh beat them 24-17, and that was considered a big, you know, big victory. Cincinnati's defense creates sacks, they create turnovers. My concern is that Big Ben goes off in Pittsburgh with everything on the line. But is Pittsburgh good enough to do that?
Absolutely they are. It's still Pittsburgh. I mean, same with the Giants. I mean, you're talking about a good team, both good teams, had bet, you know, bad couple weeks, been inconsistent. At home with, I mean, literally everything on the line. They lose this week, they're out.
But against one of the better defenses in the league right now, the way this Bengals defense has been playing the last 5-6 weeks, I think that they have to be classified as a top 7 defense in the league. I mean, they're not San Francisco, they're not Seattle, but they're a solid defense that can cover pretty much any team.
No, I'll grant you that. I'm not going to say they're not. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, the last time they played the Steelers, they had, what, 3 sacks and interception. I think even a forced fumble. So, yeah, they could definitely turn the ball over. And they've, I'm pretty sure, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think they've had an interception in, seven or eight out of the last 9 games, something like that.
Yeah, no, their defense, they're ball hawks. I mean, you know, it's Zimmer's defense. They're always good.
Yeah, so if you're really having that much problem with them, then ride the guys that got you there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I think is when you got a hot player, regardless of the matchup, you pretty much got to play him, unless it's just a terrible, terrible matchup. What's amazing to me is that Rob Gronkowski, average, he's still the most, but is still almost the top tight end in total points. I think he's only behind Gonzalez and Graham. Let's take a look at the tight ends that killed you last week. Dennis Pitta, if you started him, was a huge boon. Aaron Hernandez came back.
Heath Miller, they keep talking about how they didn't get him the ball enough, but he had a great fantasy day. Anthony Fasano out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere. And he comes up with the fourth highest performance. Jeff Cumberland, the sixth highest. Dwayne Allen, Lance Kendricks, Zach Miller. I mean, Jimmy Graham was below all those guys. Jermichael Finley still below all those guys. Greg Olsen far below those guys. Owen Daniels even further down the line. Kyle Rudolph throws a blank out there, basically. What are you thinking about a guy like Rudolph this week versus guys like Owen Daniels, Dallas Clark even? I mean, is Jimmy Graham back at the top? Give me your spin on these tight ends.
Well, it's tough. I mean, a lot of it comes down to who they're playing and with these guys, who their matchups are. It's tough to really get behind. I mean, Heath Miller, when Ben is in the game, is a good tight end and is a guy you got to play because Ben is absolutely going out of his way to get him involved, keep him involved. And as far as I'm concerned, when Ben is quarterbacking, you got to start Heath Miller. He's definitely one. Pitta has been so up and down, you know, started the year off hot, went really into a big slump, starting to come back into play now. But Giants have been pretty good all season against tight ends, so it's going to be a tough matchup for him. You know, Brandon Myers is a guy who's been a top five, six tight end all year. Last 2 weeks, he's got three receptions, just not getting the targets, so that's really a killer. Dallas Clark is a guy I do like. You know, he's definitely playing a little better. He threw that stinker up 2 weeks ago, but this St. Louis defense is pretty tough, and I think they're going to need Dallas Clark to have a decent game because they're not going to get it out of their wide receivers. They've only given up one passing touchdown the last 5 weeks to wide receivers, so I think he's a good play this week. You know, there's a few other guys that could definitely jump into the mix, but Owen Daniels is a guy right now I just don't trust, especially in this game. I don't think Houston has to throw as much. I think they come out, get an early lead, and sit on the run all rest of the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah, so there's a lot of really, really iffy tight ends this week.
Now, let's get into the game capsules. We start this week with Atlanta and Detroit on Saturday night. Listen to me yawning tonight. That's what my wife has to deal with all night. I'm exhausted. I can't sleep because of these pregnancy runs that I have to go on. Atlanta and Detroit, Saturday night, perfect thing, start to the weekend for week 16. Where do you fall on this game? Is Julio Jones is going to be trying to prove he's better than Calvin Johnson? Roddy White's going to be torching their secondary. Tony Gonzalez, big up the middle. They're going to run the ball. Who on Detroit can you start other than Calvin Johnson? Can you start Michael LaShore against this defense? Can you start Matthew Stafford? I think you said yes after what happened last week.
Yeah, I think it's a trap game for Atlanta. I think there's a good chance that Detroit comes out and, you know, wants to do a little something here at home. It's really a meaningless game for them.
I think they're going to come out so flat. I think Detroit's mailed it in. I mean, how do you go and lose to Arizona like that if you haven't mailed it in?
Well, I hear you, but, you know, hopefully they're – you really got to get into the psychology of these players. And, you know, after a beating like that, you have to figure that these guys are egotistical enough that they want to turn it around and come back and play a good game, if for no other reason than to be known as the guys that got beat by Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's on TV, so the national TV, everybody's watching, so maybe they'll have some pride. But I think maybe they don't like Schwartz, and maybe they're mailing it in.
Well, it's very possible. Hard to know what's actually going in there. But, you know, I don't know if it's so much they're just mailing it in. It's just a lot of guys are playing under where they played last week, including Stafford.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, starts from the top down, and it's been playing like that all season.
Yeah, I would think he has a good game here. St. Louis and Tampa. Tampa, Josh Freeman lost games for people everywhere last week. Doug Martin as well, because of how bad Josh Freeman was. Where are you on them this week against St. Louis? I don't think Freeman rebounds well. I still have Freeman down around number 17. I bought into it. I drank the Kool-Aid. I had him as our number 7 or 8 ranked quarterback last week. I figured against that New Orleans defense, he was absolutely going to flourish. But he got flummoxed early. and Doug Martin was affected. Even when he carried the ball, he couldn't get much going. Can you? I mean, what do you do with those guys this week? I got Doug Martin as the leader on my team. I've got to start him. But is Josh Freeman playable? Can you get anything against these St. Louis guys from Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams the way that Freeman's been playing?
I like Doug Martin. I think he has a bounce-back game, but that's about it. I don't like any of these receiving games. I mean, St. Louis is quietly playing some really good defense. Number three against opposing quarterbacks the last 5 weeks. I've only given up 2 passing touchdowns while taking 5 interceptions. Only 1 passing touchdown to wide receivers in the last 5 weeks. So absolutely not really liking Tampa Bay's chances through the air this week, although I do think that they get Doug Martin back on track.
Yeah, St. Louis is ranked 16th against the run, 9th against the pass overall. Speaking of St. Louis, Amendola's back, like you said. You said you liked Bradford. Is Steven Jackson somebody you play this week? Can Chris Givens slip in there? What are your thoughts there?
I do like Steven Jackson. He's running really well right now. I just don't think you can sit him when he's as hot as he is. He's making a lot of good plays. He's, you know, making things happen. Something we weren't really seeing from him early in the season, the last, you know, 5-6 weeks. And the good part about it is they're finally getting him back involved in the passing game. So if you're in a PPR league, even against this Tampa Bay defense, I think he's a great play this week because, I mean, last week he had 8 receptions for 73 yards. Even if he gets 4 or 5 receptions and half that yardage, he's going to get a good amount of rushing yardage, enough to put up a decent, you know, double-digit fantasy day for you.
Okay, Oakland and Carolina, we touched on the defensive side for Carolina. Cam Newton's on fire right now, has to be played. Steve Smith, you know, was the 13th-ranked receiver last week. He's still a play. Brandon LaFell, if he does start, is a wide receiver 3. D'Angelo Williams has put up 2 running back 1 games in a row. Where are you on D'Angelo Williams against a very porous 21st against the rush Oakland defense? Where are you on D'Angelo?
Oh, you got to like him. He looks like he's got fresh legs. He's running well right now, and they're, you know, he's making the big plays in the passing game. I wish they'd get the ball to him a little bit more in the passing game, but this is what he does. I mean, when they do get it to him, that's where he makes his plays. Everybody's lamenting the fact that Tolbert got the goal line scores, and that's never been his game. He doesn't score from inside the 5. When he scores from outside. From, you know, you're looking from the 10 yards and out, and that's what he does. And, you know, that's what we saw. But the good thing of what I really liked last week was the, you know, 93 yards rushing we finally saw from him. So, you know, he's playing well right now. He's got a touchdown in each of the last 2 games. I like him this week against the hapless Raiders team that's playing for nothing.
Okay, just a minute left till the break, not even. For the Raiders, that hapless Raiders team, Darren McFadden looked pretty good last week. He's playing I think it's the 19th-ranked rushing defense, or maybe 17th-ranked rushing defense. Do you start Darren McFadden? Is he a running back 1 this week, or is he still a running back 2?
I still consider him a running back 2 just because he is Darren McFadden, and hard to know how long he stays in the game. But, you know, last 2 weeks since he's come back, he's doing pretty well. And I love his matchup this week. Definitely has a good chance to put up big numbers.
All right, when we come back, we will get to more of the games. We will also have Mike Neese join us, and he will do the Fantasy Stock Exchange year-end edition. When we come back, Fantasy Insights Radio, going through the ball games, trying to help you set your team.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish. Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Okay, we are getting through the game capsules, trying to give you all the best information we can. And towards that end, we bring on Mike Neese, that guy from Chicago, Fantasy Insights senior writer, and he puts the senior in senior writer. How you doing there, Mike?
Boy, I got to run that by my wife to make sure I wasn't just slammed there.
Oh, you were. You were definitely slammed.
Yeah, I was. Okay, I just had to check.
Yeah, it was,
you
definitely
know,
a discrimination
for things.
You know, theoretically, you're the one who should be yawning and snoring and taking naps at your ripe old age.
I've already had mine. I've had my tea. I've had my.
I hope you put on your.
I've had my crumpets.
And your,
I've and your done crumpets. Everything today.
You know, your wife sent me a note at 4 in the morning saying, what the hell are you doing
in the morning?
But I wasn't up.
I was one
sleeping.
Of these people that wakes up at ridiculous, god-awful times.
Yeah, I was sleeping.
Somebody live on Facebook and she's, oh, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, but I think that maybe she thought I was online, and maybe it's because my phone, it looks like I'm online even when I'm not. But anyway, I got the message. Tell her hello. All right, Mike, let's get to the Fantasy Stock Exchange. It is the end of the year. Tell me quickly, who's the quarterback you have going up and the quarterback you have going down?
Well, actually, this week we're only talking about those going up.
Okay.
And next week we'll talk about those going down.
Sounds good. I should have read what you sent me, but I've been sleeping,
level.
As you could tell.
This first guy isn't so much going down, but it's kind of a surprise that he's still there. Peyton Manning. Not only did he maintain his health all year, which was kind of a surprise to folks, but he also kept his old skills pretty well. Over
yeah,
4,000
well, he hurt some
yards
last week.
Huh?
He hurt some teams last week. Didn't put up.
Oh, we don't. I've been going to therapy about last week for 3 days now. We don't talk about last week anymore.
Who's going up at running back?
Alrighty. At running back, well, let's do one more quarterback here.
Oh, okay.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
he's
short. A
wasted draft pick. Those were the preseason comments. Now just call him a winner. He's thrown for about 2,700 yards with 21 touchdowns and added another 400 yards rushing and 3 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I was wrong about him. I thought he was
going
to win that job.
Seattle has scored by a bigger margin in the last 2 weeks than any team since the 1941 Bears.
Wow.
And that's even before I started watching them.
That's a good stat.
Yeah.
We're moving on to running back
now? Yeah, wow. C.J. Stewart, running back, has finally come out of the shadow of...
What are you saying over there, Jim?
I'm saying if he wins his last two games, this is a kid that should absolutely be in the talk of Rookie of the Year with Robert Griffin. Andrew Luck is out of it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, hey, I don't know. If Griffin misses the playoffs...
Then it's going to be Russell Wilson.
Andrew Luck is helming a team that was, what, 1-15 last year?
I don't care. You're talking about a guy who's got a QB rating on the season of 75.5. He's got 200 more pass attempts than Russell Wilson or Griffin. He's got less passing touchdowns than Russell Wilson. He's got more interceptions. The numbers across the board support Russell Wilson much more.
He's got double the interceptions.
Although he's also got the Colts from in a record turnaround of 8 games. He's the quarterback of a team that won one game last year. He's taking them to the playoffs this year. To my mind, he's got to be just as much in that conversation as Russell Wilson between the two of them.
Don't say it. He makes too many stupid plays.
You know, he doesn't have a, you know, and he's got some pretty good wide receivers there in Indy.
Yeah, Brett Favre used to make a lot of stupid plays, too, but he won the Super Bowl.
Russell Wilson's made Golden Tate look good.
Yeah, Russell Wilson has no receivers. I'll give him that. All right, Mike Neese, let's get back on track. Running backs.
Spiller was your first year. He's got about 1,400 yards, combined yards, with two games to go. He's been hurt for a fair part of the season, yet he hasn't missed a game. And he was sharing time with Fred Jackson. Think of what he can do next year without Fred around.
Okay.
No Sean Marino.
Yeah.
I think the rumors of Ronnie Hillman being the successor back to McGahee just might have been premature. This kid's come on the last 4 weeks. He has over 500 combined yards and three touchdowns. In Chicago, where this is one of those years where we're also in therapy for, and about the only highlight on the Bears' offense would be Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, and we'll keep him next year, too.
Yeah, I think we'll keep him. They're playing with a bunch of bozos on the offensive line that would be better off wearing clown suits than Bear uniforms. Marshall's broken all the Bear receiving records, 107 catches, 1,400 yards, 10 TDs, and there's still two games to go. In Green Bay, quickly becoming the best wide receiver out of several, is Randall Cobb, who's got 77 catches, almost 900 yards, and seven touchdowns.
And it looks like Greg Jennings, the way he's bitching him on, and he won't be there next year. Any tight end help?
Yeah, two of them here. Tony Gonzalez, one of my favorite players of all time at tight end, still playing at a fantastically high level.
But is he going to come back again?
He doesn't sound like it. But you never know. He's got 87 catches, 880 yards, and eight touchdowns.
Yeah, I think if they don't win the Super Bowl, he'll come back for one more.
I would certainly hope so. I got him on my dynasty team. Greg Olsen, you know, ever since the Bears drafted him, they've been waiting for him to develop. And the Bears apparently don't need tight ends because they just let him go. And Cam Newton and he are working together pretty well, especially the last 6 weeks or so.
Okay, Mike, stick around. Thank you for the Fantasy Stock Exchange. Let's get into some of these games now a little bit more. We talked a little bit before about Stevie Johnson against the Dolphins defense. Let's talk about C.J. Spiller. I think he's locked in as a running back one, obviously. You can't start Fitzpatrick. You can't start Tannehill. Can you start Reggie Bush against a 30th-ranked rushing defense in Buffalo, Jim Day?
I actually don't like him this week. I try not to look this late in the season at what a team's ranked on the season. I try to look in the last 5 weeks. It just gives me a better eye of what they're doing now. And over the last 5 weeks, Buffalo is the number one rushing defense, only giving up two touchdowns to running backs in five games. When you add that to the fact that they know that Reggie Bush isn't back next year, Lamar Miller is healthy again, I think we get a healthy dose of Lamar Miller this week just so they can see what they get out of the rookie.
Yeah, Daniel Thomas was placed on the IR, so they need Miller a little bit more now.
Yeah, right.
Anthony Fasano's got touchdown passes 2 weeks in a row. He's a flex start to me.
Well, I can't argue that. He's always been a guy who goes through spurts and has a few good weeks at a time.
Do you like somebody starting the Buffalo defense this week in that game? Are you that high on them?
Yes, they're playing very much better now.
Okay, let's get to Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, Mike Neese. We were talking about this a little bit before. I think A.J. Green has a large game with Ike Taylor still out and knowing that Green only caught one pass against the Steelers last time. Also, Jay Gruden was calling out Andy Dalton, as the announcers were, Chris Collinsworth, for just being tentative and not pulling the trigger on a few plays when Green was open. My expectation is Andy Dalton throws for a lot of yards and throws a couple of interceptions because they're going to try to go to A.J. Green early, often, and anywhere. Mike, agree, disagree?
I would tend to agree, but I, too, look at past weeks. In the last couple of weeks, Green's only got about 100 yards altogether with one touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He's only had one touchdown in the last month after several weeks in a row of producing. You know, he's one. You got to play him, but I think he's one of those questionable guys this week.
Jim Day, Jermaine Gresham's been one of the better tight ends lately. Last week was average. Where are you on him?
Oh, I think you got to play him unless you're, you know, sitting on a stud opposite him. But definitely got to play him. And, you know, Pittsburgh is, they're, with all the banged up players they have now, they've been giving up some decent games to tight ends, and Gresham is a big part of this offense.
Would you be comfortable starting Ben Roethlisberger against that Cincinnati defense this week, or are there better ways to go, Mike Neese?
I don't know. I think Ben Roethlisberger is probably a good start. If you got him, I think you should start him.
How about the Pittsburgh defense, Jim? You willing to start them against the Cincinnati offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going under the theory that Pittsburgh bounces back in a must-win game at home and comes out with a good game. So, yeah, I think they can do some damage here.
All right, New England goes down to Jacksonville. Not a whole lot of drama there. I think the drama there for fantasy players is Stephen Ridley going to be the lead back? My take is he will be. Obviously, Brady, Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez, Welker, all must plays. What about the Jacksonville side of the ball? Cecil Shorts was doing nothing against me, and then late, all of a sudden, he was doing everything. Guy went over 100 yards. Cecil Shorts seems to me to be a wide receiver one. He's in there every week. Jim Day?
I'm on record already this week as saying I don't like Cecil Shorts a lot this week. The one thing that New England tends to do is they try to take out the opposing team's number one, you know, fantasy, you know, well, not fantasy, but number one weapon. And right now, nobody can say it's not Cecil Shorts. He's been the most consistent player they've had all year. He's having a great year. But I think they do everything they can to take him out of this game. I actually like Justin Blackmon a little more than Cecil Shorts this week.
Mike Neese, care to respond?
I think he's right, you know, and except for one thing, I think New England's going to jump ahead so far that they're going to be throwing a lot. And if they ease up in the second half like teams sometimes tend to do, Shorts can still wind up with some garbage time catches.
New England has a 29th-ranked passing defense, and I think that's why. They've given up 26 passing touchdowns. And I think the reason why is what you just said. They're always far ahead, so there's a lot of garbage time. I still am sticking to Cecil Shorts. I think he does nothing for three quarters, but then does plenty in the fourth quarter, so it makes him a wide receiver one. Only a couple minutes left in this segment. Indianapolis and Kansas City. We talked a little bit about Andrew Luck. Kansas City has been through some very strange games lately. Real quickly, my analysis of Kansas City is you can't start anybody. The only one you can play on the Chiefs at all is Jamaal Charles. Any dispute there, Jim?
Yeah, no. No dispute at all. And well, actually, that's not true. Tony Moaki has been making some plays.
Come on. You don't want to start him in your championship game.
Well, you don't, but it depends on who else you're running with. I mean, I'd start him over a guy like Jeff Cumberland this week.
Yeah, I'm sticking to Jamaal Charles as the only Chief on your roster, and there's some fringe guys if you're in emergency situations. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Colts. We'll go over some more of the games, starting with New Orleans and Dallas, and we'll try to get you all prepared for Fantasy Championship Sunday. I guess it's Fantasy Championship Saturday, Sunday this week. So we'll be back right after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
What a rush watching Colin Kaepernick when you had him on your team. Sunday night, holding off Brady. Every time I looked somewhere new, a big play. Oh, it was great. Great day of football. That was fun. Indianapolis, you guys were a little bit down on Andrew Luck in the Rookie of the Year race, questioning his stats. I think Vic Ballard has a good game against the Chiefs. I think Reggie Wayne rebounds. But the guy I'm real excited about, I think he's safe now to be playing as a low-end wide receiver two, maybe wide receiver three, is T.Y. Hilton. Any comments there, Jim?
Actually, I think he's a better play than Reggie Wayne. The one thing we have been seeing lately is that teams realize that they can take Reggie Wayne out of the game just by doubling him all game, staying on top of him on the line of scrimmage, and that's exactly what they've been doing. And we've seen Reggie Wayne go from a stud wide receiver one to wide receiver three territory.
Yeah, I think that he's been pretty solid. Mike, any differences of opinion there?
No, Reggie's slowed down a little bit. Hilton's proven to be explosive. He's had about 300 100-yard games and touchdowns in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Over the last 5 games, Reggie Wayne is the 23rd ranked wide receiver.
Well, Drew Brees is playing for the championship again in the league that I'm in. He has done that 4 years in a row now. After two pathetic games, he came up huge in the fantasy playoffs last week. And Dallas isn't going to have Morris Claiborne, and they look like they're a little bit banged up in the secondary. Their passing defense is mid-ranked. Thoughts on Drew Brees and the Saints. My thoughts about the Saints are your starters for fantasy purposes are Drew Brees, Darren Sproles in a PPR, Marcus Colston and Lance Moore, and of course Jimmy Graham. I mean, still, almost all of them are startable. Jim Day?
Well, they're all startable, no doubt about it, but if you look at Colston's numbers lately, I mean,
terrible.
They're very pedestrian.
Yep.
Yeah, he's only gotten one touchdown since week 11. He hasn't had a 100-yard game since week 5. So, I mean, he'll get you 9, 10, maybe 11 points, but he's not pushing the envelope past that.
What do you say, Mike Neese?
Yeah, the Saints have a lot of guys that are just like what Jim described. Colston's probably your home run hitter right now. Brees, of course, but the others, Pierre Thomas, Sproles, Ingram, you know, all those guys get about 7 or 8 points, but you can't really expect any more than that. Lance Moore might come in and get a touchdown or two, or then again, he might not. He's kind of sporadic. He's a pleasant surprise or a big disappointment.
Jim, what does Tony Romo do this week?
I like Tony Romo in this must. You know, this is a must-win game for them. New Orleans' defense has been playing better, but Dallas is at home. I think Romo puts up a decent game here.
I do, too, and I think Dez Bryant will be fine. I think Jason Witten's a good play. DeMarco Murray's a good play. The only guy I'm not crazy about is Miles Austin, but I still think he's a solid wide receiver to play. Just looks like he can't play either one of the defenses. All right, moving on, Washington and Philly. Assuming that Robert Griffin does play, obviously he's a start. Will you start Pierre Garçon whether or not Griffin starts? Does Alfred Morris's value change, Mike Neese?
I think they both should start. Cousins came in, and the transition was pretty much seamless last week. He had a great game.
K Can Nick Foles do anything against this Washington secondary, Jim?
Sure, he can put up decent numbers, and I think he's going to have to throw a ton in garbage time to even get a chance to do anything. So, yeah, he could have a decent game here. I like Macklin in this one, and I like Avant, too, to put up some decent numbers. They're going to be playing from behind. I think they throw a lot.
Are you going to play LeSean McCoy if you have him? He's going to start, but he's going to lose quite a bit of carries to Brown.
I shouldn't say outright no. It's going to depend on options, but I don't love him. We just don't know how much he's going to actually touch the ball.
All right, let's get to San Diego and the Jets, two completely dysfunctional teams that the San Diego Chargers are going to probably lose their coach. The Jets are going to lose their quarterbacks. Is there anybody on either one of these teams you feel comfortable starting right now, Jim Day, with the news that Ryan Matthews has done? Is Denario Alexander a guy you're going to put on your bench after his goose egg last week, or do you feel comfortable starting him?
I don't feel comfortable starting him, but I don't think I put him on my bench either. I think he definitely sees a healthy dose of Antonio Cromartie, which isn't going to help him a ton. But I think because of the situation in running back, he's going to get his chances, and I think he comes out of it with a decent day in PPR leagues. I just don't expect him to score.
With Greg McElroy quarterbacking the Jets, does anybody obtain any fantasy value, Mike Neese?
Yeah, you know, I would hate to go with any Jets player or Chargers player this week. It's not the time to experiment.
Well said.
There's players that could come through, but none of them are likely to.
Tennessee at Green Bay, Chris Johnson had the 94-yard run, was relatively quiet other than that. Is Chris Johnson somebody you're going to play this week, and can you start Kenny Britt or no? Jim Day?
Well, Chris Johnson, yeah. Again, it depends on your choices, but unless you have a star-studded running back.
Is he running back one? Is he one of the top 12 running backs this week?
No, I don't think he's top 12. I think I have him at 19.
Okay,
but,
so,
he's
a starter.
You're talking about a running back, too, in most leagues, so he's definitely startable.
Right. Then he's a good running back, too. I like that.
Yeah, Kenny Britt, I think, could have a decent game, but, again, it's not so much that I distrust Britt. I just don't trust Locker.
Mike Neese, what about your hated Packers? Aaron Rodgers was the fifth-ranked quarterback last week, even though he's had an up-and-down year. Alex Green has a concussion. You might see Ryan Grant and DeJuan Harris carrying the load. James Jones, three touchdowns. Got to start him now. Randall Cobb, got to start him now. Can you start Greg Jennings? Should you, Mike?
I would not. I would not start Jennings. See, the problem with the Packers is it's kind of like the Saints. They got a great quarterback and almost too many people spreading the points around. But the ones that have actually been getting the points have been Cobb and James, and I hate to, you know, you don't want to change your chemistry of your team for your championship game. You can't take chances.
Can Adrian Peterson go over 150 yards for the sixth game in a row, Jim Day?
Very possible. He did it against him last time, but I don't see it this time. I think Houston is really playing for home field advantage throughout the playoffs at home. I think they you know, Peterson is Peterson. He's going to have a good game. I don't think he puts up that good a game, though.
All right, and I think Arian Foster is an obvious start, and Andre Johnson an obvious start. Other than that, nobody in Houston's really exciting us, not even Owen Daniels. Cleveland and Denver. Trent Richardson's been scoring a ton, but only because he keeps getting in the end zone. What happens to him against that Denver defense, Jim?
I think he gets shut down big time. Denver has only allowed four rushing touchdowns all year and only one since week five, and that's the only way Richardson's putting up fantasy points. I don't think he does it this week.
What about you, Mike Neese? Do you think that Knowshon Moreno continues this story of him as the running back one, even against this Cleveland defense? Has been okay against the rush?
You know, Denver's been on a roll. I don't see him stopping. Moreno's been pretty consistent week after week for the last four games.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. Okay, finally, we've got Chicago, your boys in Chicago. Other than Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte, nobody to start there. I think the Bears' defense is worth a start this week against Ryan Lindley. Would not start one Cardinal, not even Beanie Wells, not Larry Fitzgerald, even as a flex. You disagree with that, Jim?
Not at all.
New York Giants. Eli Manning, I think, is a great start for rebound this week. They don't know about Bradshaw. Knicks and Cruz both starts. I like Martellus Bennett a lot this week. Joe Flacco, can you start him against the Giants, Jim?
At home, he's always been a better quarterback than on the road. I don't trust either one of these quarterbacks as good starts this week. I have both of them outside of my top 12.
All right, Dennis Pitta is still a good start, but won't do what he did last week, obviously. And Anquan Boldin, probably a better start than Torrey Smith. Ray Rice gets back on the horse again. For the 49ers, Jim Day says no to Colin Kaepernick. We only have 30 seconds left. Mike Neese, what about you? Colin Kaepernick in Seattle.
I think Seattle's going to shut San Francisco down this week.
And what about you on the other side of the ball? Start Russell Wilson against that San Francisco defense, Jim?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Russell Wilson. I love the way he's playing right now. I start him. He got me into my four games this week.
Interesting, interesting. Well, that is it. That is Fantasy Insights Radio. All the news that we could get for you. Don't forget, Sunday morning, it's Final Decisions with Fantasy Insights on Blog Talk Radio. You can always find me at Fantasy Insights or FantasyInsights.com. We'll see you next week.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.